Hello, listeners. Today is Wednesday, June 22nd. Welcome to Behind the Numbers, Reimagining Retail, an e-marketer podcast made possible by Shop Plaza. This is the show where we talk about how retail collides with every part of our lives. I'm your host, Sarah Lebo. On this episode, we'll be discussing the circular retail economy, from resale to upcycling and more. So joining me today is lead of retail and e-commerce practice and principal analyst, Susie David Canyon. Welcome back, Susie.
Hi, Sarah. Thanks for having me.
Also joining us today is senior analyst for retail and e-commerce. It's Sky Canavis. Hi, Sky.
Hi, Sarah. Hi, Susie.
As Susie said before, we have the three S's here. So let's jump in. I'm going to kick off the show with our first segment, News and Reviews, where I give you the news and our guests tell me the reviews. So our news today, it's not a headline, it's just a piece of news. Prime Day was just announced. It's going to be July 12th and 13th this year. Susie, in 60 seconds, tell me your review of Prime Day being announced on July 12th and 13th this year.
So I have so much to say about this, and I'm going to try and keep it super brief. It's obviously not a surprise that they're going back to July. They had a tough start to the year, so they need July to work for them. It's a great time for back to school shopping. I think what's really interesting specific to this Prime Day is the idea around every retailer needs that halo effect that Prime Day is known for, and it used to be called Black Friday in July for some of the other retailers. So we're going to look out to see what that looks like and if that's going to give retail a boost like they hope it will. And that's probably why they announced it now, because they're doing a pre-shop period for Prime members. So it's a great way for them to add more members, which it's typically another great time of the year for them to increase their subscription base. We know that there was a little bit of a slowdown, so this should hopefully bump them up as well. Hopefully setting up Amazon for a good second half of the year.
Thanks, Susie. Sky, your review of Prime Day being July 12th and 13th this year in 60 seconds is...
So Amazon's back to its tradition after 2 years of disruption. It was in October in 2020, the first pandemic year, and it was in June last year, which put it in the first half of the year and a little early for back to school. I'm interested to see what comes out of the early deals that start next week on June 21st, which looks like it's going to be heavily focused on big discounts on the Amazon devices, as well as a bit of a push into live streaming via Amazon Live, which has really struggled to gain traction. But they have some celebrity plans and plans to branch out into more areas. And I'm also interested to see what other categories take off this year. Beauty was a big standout last year. It performed really well with about 28% of Prime Day buyers, according to a report from Numerator recapping Prime Day. And for more, you should check out our Amazon Prime Day 2022 report that just published, which looks ahead at why brands and competitors should prepare for two Prime Day cycles this year.
Good plug. That report is available for pro subscribers right now on insiderintelligence.com. We are going to jump into our next segment, though, now that we've covered things to look out for Prime Day, and look out for another podcast episode talking about Prime Day as well. It's time now for our next segment, Retail Me This, Retail Me That, where we discuss an interesting retail topic. Today we're talking about the circular economy, the thing that lets me pretend I'm cool because all of the clothes I own are used, so I can tell people they're thrifted or vintage rather than just used. So, Sky, you recently put out a report on this, and according to that report, the digital fashion resale marketplace sales were around $10.5 billion in 2021. By the end of 2025, that figure is expected to triple to over $30 billion. That's sustaining double-digit growth each year between 2021 and 2025. So clearly the opportunity is huge. Can you elaborate on what the circular retail economy is? What does that term mean?
Sure. So I think of it as being the opposite of a traditional linear economy, where it's kind of one way from production to buying and using and then ultimately disposal, usually in a landfill. With a circular economy, we're really talking about a whole set of more sustainable practices that are aimed at reducing waste. And this encompasses things like recycling, reusing, repairing, as well as what we think of as a sharing economy or rental economy. And resale is a big part of that.
Gotcha. So a lot of it is resale, like that number that we just looked at, but it also incorporates a lot more opportunities for brands. A lot of companies are launching their own buyback and resale programs specifically. I looked at some things we recently published. It included Nike, REI, Dick's, Patagonia, Lululemon. Those were just a few we've reported on recently. Susie, how do companies benefit from launching their own buyback programs?
So I think there are so many ways that they benefit, but most of it is about keeping their brand intact. When you think about the different platforms that are offering these services that are the user interface, not just the backend platform, like ThredUp, for example, a consumer sends their items, someone else buys it, and Nike has zero control over the brand. And I think that probably didn't bode well, right? All these used merchandise that were not gently used, but that might have been a little bit not lackluster, made for a very bad experience for the purchaser, the secondhand purchaser. And so by bringing that back in, Nike, for example, has more control over their brand. And of course, it's another revenue stream for them. And if everybody is working towards their sustainability goals, it's another way for them to really try and get to that lowered, reduced carbon footprint.
So it's good marketing, but also if I get a pair of spandex shorts originally from Lululemon that aren't in great shape, I'm going to think of that as poor Lululemon product quality rather than poor ThredUp interaction.
100%. And I think, you know, there was a shifting in the way consumers are interacting with products, right? There was a moment in time where everybody wanted everything and there was this fast fashion. And now it's much less about an ownership cycle and it's much more about minimalism. And I think this really helps with that as well, especially the rental. Because, I mean, we did talk about resale. And like Sky had said, the rental is part of that whole re-commerce and circular economy. So I think it's kind of a win-win for everybody. What I find fascinating, I might be changing the subject, is a lot of these buyback resale programs offer a percentage off for the consumer, but it's typically for new items. It's not just geared towards the resale component. So that, I think, might be a small, slight misstep in that if you're trying to really encourage consumers to be more sustainable, you should be giving them that 20% off for another pair of jeans that are already used versus for a brand new pair.
Yeah, I guess it's almost like that sustainability aspect might be more of a marketing and messaging idea. I'm curious about what you just said, though. Companies are trying to encourage new purchases while buying back their old items. I know that retailers take huge losses when it comes to things like returns and reshelving. How is resale different? You're taking in all these products. You have to figure out what to do with them. That's a huge logistic ask. How are companies not taking a huge loss when it comes to resale?
So resale is actually a bit more complicated than just returns because individual items might need to be photographed, they need to be evaluated for the condition they're in, and then each listing has to be uploaded back online separately for sale. Whereas with returns, retailers sometimes just toss or donate the items just to avoid the hassles and costs of the reverse logistics. So what we're seeing is a lot of brands getting involved in resale. They're not totally going it alone or building their own resale operations from scratch. We're starting to move from seeing brand partnerships with resale platforms towards more brands establishing their own branded presences with their taking control of their resale. And most of the brands that we see are working with white label providers. ThredUp, I think, now has more than 40 brands that it provides its resale as a service to. And two other big names are Archive and Trove, and they strictly focus on resale as a service solutions, and they work with big names like Lululemon, Patagonia, Levi's. So brands need to find a partner or somebody to work with who can help manage these very challenging and complex logistics.
And then I think, Sarah, they probably get economies of scale doing that, right? So they're doing a good marketing deed. They're doing something good for the environment. They're making consumers happy. We know consumers really strongly believe in climate change is linked to sustainability and all these other, you know, horrible, horrible things that fast fashion and other apparel is known to cause a lot of problems for the environment. So I think it's kind of an imperative to stay in business. You have to figure out how to do it. And so when you use the service like Sky is talking about, there are probably a lot of economies of scale that help make that a little bit more interesting for a retailer.
Okay, so like anything else, resale is not working in its own like hyper profitable vacuum. It's one branch of a more complete like marketing and branding and retail picture for these brands.
And it might also be like what we call in CPG, you know, the loss leader. Sometimes you need to have something that's like shiny fun for consumers or like trendy, cool, so that consumers come in for that. Usually when you think about CPGs, it's like they drop the price on something really low to get people into the store. It could be that this is that new thing that everybody's expecting brands to have, whether they shop there or not. Although we are seeing in the numbers, there's a tremendous growth. So they are shopping there. But I think at some point, every retailer is going to have to figure it out.
Yeah, I want to talk about who those consumers are. So according to our own forecasts, 33.8 million people in the US will buy from the online fashion resale market this year for a total of around $460 in sales per person. That figure is going to rise over the next 3 years by 5 million people and by $330. So huge growth, especially in that dollar spent per person figure. What sort of consumers are these retailers focusing on?
I think the big opportunity in resale consumers is among the Gen Z consumers and younger millennials, as we see on TikTok. There's thrifting TikTokers who have become famous, and there's really part of the thrill of the hunt. They're finding unique pieces and scoring great deals. And as you mentioned, according to our forecast, most of the growth in online fashion resale is coming from those existing consumers, spending more as they get older and have more disposable income. And they'll also find that they can meet a lot more of their needs through resale because of that huge selection that's coming into the market, because so many more people are participating in resale or cleaning out their closets and sending more stuff for resale.
I know that you have brands like The RealReal and other brands also having like luxury available as well. So it's not just those unique thrifted finds. It's also these vintage and luxury items.
Right. It's also really helpful for people who have aspirational intentions with brands that they might not have otherwise been able to afford that are coming at a discounted price off of, you know, retail tags. And so now they're going to be able to carry a purse that they might not have otherwise been able to carry. And I think it's also another really great way, especially now as we're hearing about everything happening in the economy, to save money, right? Let's be honest. It's a way to tighten your budget. You can buy more individual items for the same price that you would have for one particular full sale, never used item.
Well, I think that Skye said it best when she said that thrifting is cool now, and also I am thrifting, and therefore it sounds like Skye said that I am cool.
Exactly.
Thank you, Skye. Yeah, and you guys are both retail experts, so you would know.
We know cool when we see it.
Okay, so we covered in this first half the various aspects of this circular retail economy focusing on resale. So brands benefit from owning their own resale market, but they may have to partner with established companies in order to do so. There's a massive opportunity, especially among these Gen Z shoppers. What we haven't gotten into the weeds yet on is other innovations happening in the circular economy. So after the break, Susie and Skye will talk about cool and creative strategies brands are taking beyond just pure resale. I will meet you back here after a quick word from our sponsor, Shop Plaza. Your sassiest friend, e-commerce pal, and business bud. Shop Plaza keeps it real, keeps it simple, and keeps it all on a single platform. So, no matter where you are, what you're selling, or what your business size, you can tech your business to the next level. Whether you are looking to grow your business, gain an amazing solution, or become a partner, go to shopplaza.com. That's shopplaza.com to learn more. Welcome back from the break. Now it is time for pop-up rankings, where we take a look at specific examples and we rank them. So this week I wanted to know what Susie and Skye's top picks are for brands doing something particularly creative or innovative in the world of circular retail. So Susie and Skye, I'm looking to you. We're going to do the top five brands doing something creative and innovative in this world. What is your number five pick for an innovative brand in circular retail?
So for number five, we have this very cool program that's run through Nordstrom, and it's a bra recycling program by Harper Wild. And it is part of in what Skye was talking about in terms of the circular economy, this idea of picking apart things to then potentially reuse some parts of it and otherwise to recycle other parts. And that's what this program does. They take the bras apart. I don't think anybody really realized just how many components are part of that garment. And then they recycle them and reuse them. And we think that that's really cool.
This is a brand within Nordstrom?
It's an individual brand that is running their program through Nordstrom.
Gotcha.
And I would imagine on their own as well. But I think Nordstrom is a good collection point.
Okay, very cool. So we have upcycling bras, not reselling those bras directly, but upcycling the components. What is our number four pick, creative and innovative brand?
So luxury resale is really hot, and Gucci recently launched Gucci Vault, which is billed as an experimental digital space, and it includes a curated selection of emerging designers, NFTs and metaverse events, as well as vintage Gucci fashion. And I think this is interesting because back in 2020, Gucci was one of the first luxury brands to experiment with resale. And it partnered with the online luxury resale platform, The RealReal, to set up a resale, an online store for a few months. And that's kind of like branded resale 1.0. Now with Vault, this is like branded resale 2.0. Gucci's taking control of resale and at the same time putting it in the context of its other creative endeavors. So it really helps to present resale in a new way on par with other key innovations from the brand. And it really also highlights the brand's history and heritage via resale, which is a great strategy for luxury brands.
Sky, I haven't seen this one. Is it like they're reselling NFTs? Or
no,
they're...
So they're selling NFTs like separately, and they sell new clothing separately. And then they also have resale vintage Gucci in there too.
They sell through the metaverse.
They have an NFT page and they have a metaverse event page, and they have the curated collections from emerging designers. And then they have a vintage section.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's kind of like everything.
All in one.
All in one, yeah.
Interesting. So when you say digital store, you mean both metaverse items, but also a purse that I could buy and carry around.
A physical purse from maybe 30 years ago.
Cool.
That's very cool.
That is really innovative. I mean, the combined metaverse and real life. Will I pinch at nerves by saying that? The combined aspects is really cool. It almost makes you feel like the metaverse is really helping out with marketing to sell real products. That's really interesting. What is our number three pick for an innovative brand in circular retail? Sky?
So I picked the children's wear brand called Tea Collection, which launched resale in a partnership with the children's resale platform Kidizen back in February. And according to ThredUp's May rankings of branded resale programs, Tea was at the top in terms of items listed with more than 20,000. And the next closest was Lululemon, and it had around 14,000. So this really shows the opportunity in children's wear, since kids are constantly outgrowing their clothes and you don't always want to buy new because it's only used for a short time. And Tea Collection itself has a bit of a cult following. I've been in some of the tea buy sell trade groups on Facebook, and they're very active because Tea follows this drop model of these very themed collections sold in limited quantities. So there are all these parents who are looking to get their hands on tea items from previous seasons. And so it's a great opportunity for them to take part in that very active market that's already there.
That's very cool.
Is the resale happening in the buy-sell trade groups, or is it happening elsewhere?
Yeah.
And okay.
It takes place in the buy-sell trade group. So Facebook doesn't really take a cut of that, and Tea doesn't take a cut of that. So it makes sense for them to be doing that themselves because there's so much demand for their used clothes.
It's been happening in the buy-sell trade groups, and now
yes.
Tea is taking it over. Am I understanding that right?
It's still happening in the buy-sell trade groups, but they are launching their own resale program to kind
Understood.
Of compete and stand next to that.
It's interesting, right? It's like peer-to-peer. It's like what was once Craigslist, right? It's
mm-hmm.
like peer-to-peer reselling. And then now, of course, the brand is taking over. I think kids' apparel is a no-brainer. I mean, we had been discussing, all of us together, what are some of the categories where we really see this being truly more effective? And kids' clothing seems to be one of those.
Yeah. I mean, as a youngest child who was only wearing boys' clothes, it definitely makes sense to me. What is our number two pick for an innovative brand in circular retail?
So we both, I'm putting words in Sky's mouth, but I don't think I'm too far off by saying we both love Levi's and what they're doing in terms of not only resale, because they have their own resale. It's called Secondhand Shop. It's a tab on the website that it takes you to another page so that you're off of the like Levi's full price page into your own page. But they're also doing so many other cool things to try and continue keeping the jeans that you've already purchased yours beautiful to fit you and to continue to fit you. And they patch them and do all these types of things in their repair shop in the store to try and help encourage you to keep your jeans. They have a recycling program. They're working on innovative materials and textiles to make sure that your clothes are more durable. And they have a new branding called Well Thread that is supposed to help with the durability of clothing. So Levi's, for me at least, is much more than just trying to get your money. They're trying to not take your money, right? And trying to make you use your clothes longer.
Yeah, it sounds like, am I understanding, they're really focusing on the strength of the brand in that one rather than just strictly retail?
It sounds like they're focusing on the strength of their like heritage brand, you know, like rough and tough sort of, if you will, but they're extending that to not just being a brand marketing gimmick, but it being true in the materials that they're using, and then encouraging consumers to keep reusing their products. And when they are done with them, to return them to the store and to get a percentage back, you know, they're recycling basically.
Sure. Okay, we've been through our top four. What is our number one brand doing something innovative in circular retail?
So I picked REI because I see it as the resale OG. It's been offering used merchandise for more than 60 years through its periodic members-only garage sales that were in person. And now it's really moving towards ongoing resale through its resupply program, which includes resale sections in all of its stores nationwide, as well as online. And REI reportedly sold more than 1 million resale products in 2021, the company said, and growing by more than 80% from the previous year. Wow. So it really shows a big opportunity in resale, and we're starting to see a lot more outdoor and active lifestyle brands and retailers moving into resale as well. Like Dick's Sporting Goods just recently launched resale. The North Face relaunched its program. Patagonia has been in resale for a while. And then you have brands like Lululemon getting in as well. And outdoor gear is really great for resale because it's something that's going to get used and worn. It doesn't need to be in pristine condition. And there's been so much more demand for outdoor gear now since the start of the pandemic, with people looking more towards having active and outdoor lifestyles.
And I don't remember which one it is, but some of them also do rentals, right? So that's cool too. They do like rentals of tents and other sort of outdoor gear that you might not need every day, but that you need when you're actually doing that activity. So I think that's a double bonus on sustainability.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. I don't need to own a tent, but I do need to use one once every 3 years when someone says we're going camping. Okay, well, there you have it. Sky's resale e-commerce report is available for pro subscribers on insiderintelligence.com. Thank you for being here, Sky.
Thanks, Sarah.
And thank you, Susie.
Thank you.
Thank you to Todd, who's filling in for Victoria and editing the podcast this week, and to our listeners, who are the reason they keep letting me record these podcasts. I will see you next week for another episode of Reimagining Retail, an e-marketer podcast made possible by Shop Plaza. And you can tune in tomorrow as Marcus brings you another episode of Behind the Numbers, The Daily, an e-marketer podcast. Thanks.